in Amos chapter 8. This morning I want to talk about a famine. A famine in America, and the famine is almost unknown in America since the 30s, during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl and all of that. But really, I mean, there were people hungry, and we in our lifetime really probably can't, I don't think there's anybody in here old enough to remember that time when you literally would be happy for a potato. You know, America has had its time, but God has been so good to us. Famine is almost unknown in this country. This country feeds the nations that are ravaged by famine. But we don't remember the last one we had. We just have been blessed so much. But we need to remember that conditions can change. God can change the conditions even in America. We say, well, look how great we are. Well, look how great Egypt was in the 7 years of plenty. In the 7 years of plenty, had it not been the man of God following God's will, the whole known world would have starved to death. Not just Egypt, because there were men coming from far and wide to come buy corn from Joseph. Had Joseph not listened to God, not obeyed God, that Egypt would have been devastated. And in the end, the Pharaoh ended up the richest man in the world. He owned everything because he had put man of God in charge. He trusted the man of God and he obeyed what his guidance was. And because of that, Pharaoh, he didn't just own what he had, but he owned all the gold and silver in the country. He owned all of the cattle and all of the animals in the country. And he owned all the land in the country. He owned everything when it was over with. So we don't want to sit here and think, well, that could never happen to us, because it has in the past. But it has in Egypt. Egypt's a good example. Only a man of God, through preparation, saved the known world during that time. The question this morning is, are we prepared? Not for food and not for money, but of the word of God. Let's look at chapter 8 and verse 11. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." A famine of hearing the word of the Lord. "And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro and seek the word of God and shall not find it." Lord, help us this morning. We'd search your word, and Lord, we would seek your will through your word. And Lord, I pray we'd not suffer this kind of famine in our homes and our church in our country. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have attentive ears to the word of God this morning. Christ, and I pray, amen. So are we prepared to go through this type of famine? So how can I be prepared? "You need thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's how you can be prepared. I mean, we need to be in the word of God. I wonder this morning or this afternoon, if you had all the Bibles in your house taken away and burned, and there were no more Bibles, do you know enough scripture that you could lead your neighbor to Christ or your children or your grandchildren? Do you know enough Bible to lead them to Christ without the Bible sitting in front of you? Because that day is coming one day. A day that they want our Bibles. Oh, it may not be in my lifetime, but the day's coming, we know, because God just said it was. He said in Amos 8, 11 and 12 that the day is coming. Now the famine of this text is again, it's the famine of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics, but in America, the average household has between 4 and 5 Bibles in every single household in America. And that takes into account all the homes that don't have any Bibles. The average is 4 to 5 Bibles per household. So how can we go into this famine when we're accustomed to such abundance in this area? But we think, as many think, that because of many churches, We're a Christian nation. The abundance of churches does not mean anything. A bunch of dusty Bibles does not mean anything. It does not make us. For those Egyptians who had many fields, but nothing but dead corn in it, didn't fill their belly, did it? We could have a lot of Bibles on the shelf and not fill our bellies with it and die of the famine. The famine will come, though. It's coming, but you know how it's going to come? It's going to come through indifference. This famine right here, we're saying, how could that ever happen? There's more Bible preaching in America than anywhere in the world. There's more Bibles in America than anywhere in the world. How could this famine come in America? One is there's no Bible preaching. There's an indifference. The average person who claims Christ as their Savior has no soul consciousness. The average person who claims to be a Christian has never asked their neighbor, has never asked their friend if they're going to heaven or hell. The average Christian is not soul conscious. And few churches in America grow through evangelism. The churches are growing through programs. And then that's a light show. And what do you do next month? I awed you this month. How am I going to awe you next month? I can't just keep outdoing myself. And eventually you get bored and you go home. Churches that do not grow through soul winning and through people getting saved and through the preaching of the Word of God, they're going to die. They're going to starve to death. Literally, churches with the name Baptist on them are starving to death because there's not preaching in the pulpit. Most Christians today do not take Christ to their workplace. They don't take Christ to their play place. They leave him at home on the shelf like that dusty Bible. You listen to this and you tell me we're not in trouble. There's a survey taken that says 1 in 5 Americans read their Bible regularly. That's 20%. 1 in 5 Americans read their Bible regularly. Now, I would like to say, okay, that same 1 in 5, do you eat regularly food? I mean, if they ate food as often as they read their Bible, I bet they'd read their Bible more often. So, 1 in 5, 77% of Americans believe we're in moral decline. The other 23 are blind or ignorant or on Mars. 77% believe we're in moral decline. The other 23% are the moral decline. They like it where they're at. They like the gutter. But 77%, now wait a minute, only 20% are reading their Bibles. But 77% believe we're going downhill. But they will not do anything about it. They will not pick. They will not open the fridge to take a piece of bread to eat it. They know what it is. They know we're going down and we'll do absolutely nothing. They'll sit there and starve to death. Here's a scary statistic. 57% of the younger generation, 57% of the younger generation read their Bible less than 3 times a year. Them boys sitting on that row right there, that age group. Less than 3 times a year. How in the world? If you ate 3 times a year, would you not starve to death? That's a famine in of the land, not of food, but of the Word of God. So I want us to look at just a couple of things this afternoon. What would it mean to have a famine of the Word of God? What would it mean for your nation? We're patriotic. The famine of the Word of God, number one, would mean a nation without freedom. Well, how can we do that? John said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then he went on to say, "Thy word is truth." So, thy word is truth, and truth is what makes me free. Then it's the word of God that makes me free, makes me understand some things. Horace Greeley wrote back in the mid-1800s, he said, "It is impossible to enslave a Bible-reading people. It's impossible. I'm going to tell you why. You wonder why tyrants of the world hate the Bible? Why the first thing they try to do is get rid of the Bible? Whether it be Mao Zedong or Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler, why do they go and try to burn the Bibles? Because the Bible is where we get freedom from. That's where we understand freedom. They try to extinguish it. History reveals that the Bible brings freedom to America and wherever else it goes. The history of our founding of this nation. Those that were fleeing persecution, being burned at the stake for having the possession of a Bible. Does that tell you that the devil's a little bit worried about that book? And he wants a famine in the land. When I can't even have a Bible in the English language because I'm too ignorant to understand what God says. So I need some other sinful man to read it out of Latin so that I can hear what God has to say. No, no. Those guys like John Wycliffe and John Huss and William Tyndale will burn at the stake to give you and me a Bible that we hold in our hands right there. The precursor to the 1611 King James. These men were burnt at the stake. Why? Because religious tyrants hate the Word of God. Religious tyrants do not want the common man to understand the Word of God, because it shines a light on the darkness. For them to think that they can interpret the Bible correctly for me, and I can't, where's the Holy Spirit now? I have the same Holy Spirit that some other preacher has. I have the same Holy Spirit that some religious tyrant has. So therefore, I can understand the Word of God just still as, oh, I don't need a man. Although God does give His preachers, praise the Lord, but God also gave you a Holy Spirit. So history telling us that the Bible brings us freedom, the development of the United States of America is based on Scripture. And you don't let all these gurus on the internet tell you that we were not based on the Word of God. Whether it be the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, they all are based on Scripture. How do I know that? Because our founding fathers were Bible readers. Their faith was in the God of this Bible, and they based decisions based on this Scripture. How do I know that? Because every one of them learned how to read from this Scripture. They learned how to read from the Bible. You can't tell me, well, our founding fathers didn't read the Bible. They didn't know how to read if they didn't, because that was the textbook. Was the King James Bible or the Geneva Bible? Our founding fathers. Churches, whether it be here or anywhere else, have always been guardians of freedom and patriotism. One man came over on a survey trip trying to figure out what made America great. How did America become so great? And he went from one end of the country to the other. And he went through industry and education system and went through all these different areas. And he got done. He went back to New York, was fixing to get on a ship and head back to England. And he says, I still don't know why America's great. And an old preacher met him at the dock and he says, you want to know how America's great? Go to the church. And that man got back off and he went through this country and went to the churches in America, and he says, now I know why America's great. I know why God's blessing America, because the preaching that's coming out of the pulpits in America is what made America great. And I'm telling you right today that if America's ever going to be great again, it's going to be because of the preaching coming out of the pulpits. It's not coming out of the pulpits majority today. When 1 in 5 read their Bible regularly, something's wrong. But 77% agree we're in moral decline. But when we have young people that less than half of them even read the Bible 3 times a year, we're in moral decline. And you know this, I'm telling you, solid Bible reading alerts us to the values of freedom. Bible reading people keep freedom alive in their daily life. How do I know that? It's common sense. The Bible teaches the value of life. The Bible teaches freedom. Opposite of euthanasia, abortion, the genocide, racism. The Bible teaches the opposite of that. And isn't that crazy? That the guys that want to get the Bible out of government and out of our schools, and they want to get the Bible out of America, are the very ones calling Bible lovers and Bible readers racist, all those things. The ones who actually believe killing a 30-week-old baby who can breathe, breathe and function completely healthy outside the mother's womb, but they believe killing that baby is legal. I tell you what, we're in moral decline. We're in such moral decline that when that, you think that's bad, but listen, some of us getting a little older, euthanasia's next, where you know what, you're just a worthless eater. You're consuming some of what we need, our groceries that we could use elsewhere, and so we're just going to put you to sleep like a dog. I tell you, you say, well, that can't happen. You remove the Bible from America, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We removed the Bible from a public school, and now we got school shootings all the time. You removed Bible from the government, and we got all of this ungodly, filthy laws being passed. A nation without the Bible is in trouble. It's without freedom. I mean, I want you to try and picture a nation without a Bible. It's a nation without freedom. It's a nation without patriotism. It's a nation without a foundation. You know the story of the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand? One of them stood, and it wasn't the foolish man in the sand. Listen, we got the solid rock. We sang that song this morning. Our house is built upon the solid rock of Jesus. The nation that is without a Bible is without that foundation. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Without the Bible, there is no Christ, and without Christ, there is no foundation, and there is no standing. The psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, they labor in vain that build it. Whether it be a house, a church, a nation, there is no difference. If the Lord's not involved, it is all vanity. A life or a land built on the Bible will stand. God's Word is the only solid foundation. And I tell you, that stood for a long time. But it's weathering a storm now from within and without. We talked about Nehemiah. Apart from God's Word, you know, say, well, you're narrow-minded. I'm that narrow-minded. It's okay to be that narrow-minded. Be narrow-minded. But God's okay with it. I'm okay. That's a pretty good foundation I'm standing on. Well, what's your authority? Right there. Not to the right, not to the left. Well, why do you think? Apart from God's Word, there are no absolutes. This book is absolute. Absolutely right. Absolutely God. Absolutely you can know God's will because we have an absolute. But this thing of situational ethics of the day. It's all relative. No, it's absolute. They don't want any absolutes. They don't want any right or wrong. Let's give all the kids a trophy. Little Billy, we don't want to get his feelings hurt and know what it's like to lose a game. Whatever. That's how you get kids shooting people over a video game. Because they can't stand to lose a video game. They're going to go kill somebody. That is a country without absolutes and without the Word of God. And talk about starvation. That kid needs some Bible preaching. Right and wrong, legal and illegal. How do you have an illegal criminal? I mean, illegal that's not a criminal. I mean, illegal is illegal and criminal is criminal. I mean, that's kind of absolute, isn't it? I mean, how do you not have, they don't go together. I don't understand that. If you are breaking the law, you're a criminal. Amen? Amen. That's an absolute. what we're seeing today with the left is that there's no right, nor there's no wrong. Everybody, can't we just all get along? Well, according to this, absolutely can. But at some point, I'm not going to determine my life determined by an opinion poll, but rather the law. I would much rather have my daily life and raise my family and live my life based upon a set of laws that are written down in on the books that I know where I stand at. We have the Word of God. We know where we're supposed to stand. This country was built as a republic, you know, the republic for which it stands. We all learned that as a kid, saying the Pledge of Allegiance. As a kid, I didn't know what a republic was. I always thought we were a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're not a pure democracy. We're a republic. And a republic says that that's why Lady Liberty is blindfolded in the pictures, where she's holding the scales and she's blindfolded, and so she doesn't know who she's looking at. The law applies evenly to everybody unless you're Bill Clinton. So... I didn't mean to say that. Well, yes, I did. Amen. A republic is ruled by law. Pure democracy is mob rule. Pure democracy is just mob rule. What happens when you and I aren't the majority? I want the law. And the law says if you are lied on the stand, that you go to jail, right? What is it called? Help me out.
Perjury.
If you perjure yourself in a court of law or before the Senate, it is perjury punishable by imprisonment. And then it goes one farther that go to the Senate, if you're the president and you're found guilty of perjury, now you're found guilty in the Senate and it's called impeachment. And the next step is out of office. Unless you go crazy. And then we just forget about it, because that would be too dirty to kick the president out of office. But legally, by the law, by the book, that's what's supposed to happen. I guarantee you, if Steve perjures himself in a court of law in Clayton, New Mexico, he's going to be punished for it, not rewarded for it. That's pure, that's a republic. The law says this is what happens. And nobody can tell who. Lady Liberty's blind. Roger does it. If I do it, Jason does it, we all punish the same. That's not what's going on in America, is it? Well, you know, opinion polls. Will you be considered racist if you do this? Or you're going to be considered a bigot if you do that? Or you don't want to be mean. No. Let's apply the law. Not rewrite it. Not rewrite the Constitution. You hear all this junk this week about these politicians wanting to... Well, they just... hate it that the right is constantly leaning on the Constitution. What else do you want me to lean on? I'm glad we have something we can lean on. But I have something greater than the Constitution. I have the Word of God I can lean on whether they rewrite the Constitution or not. See, this right and wrong thing, isn't that crazy? They're setting precedents. Here's a sad note. At churches across America are conducting themselves the very same way. They're tolerant of what the world's tolerant of, rather than what God's tolerant of. I guarantee you, what God's tolerant of is not the same as what many churches are being tolerant of. My Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. That we're not to be like the world, regardless of whether we're the majority or the minority. And we are the minority, by the way. Whether it be immorality or toleration of sin, even among clergy. I know the Bible says that, but that doesn't apply today. Or that doesn't apply to our church. Or that's just not how we believe it. Listen, I don't interpret the Bible. But thus saith the Lord does. And therefore, that means that I have an absolute I can stand on in the Word of God and not starve to death. But see, if every jot and tittle of this Bible does not apply to every church and every Christian, then you and I are wasting our time by being here. And we can't trust any of it, so let's just go home. And that's exactly what most are doing. They're going home. That's what a lot of folks are doing because of the lack of Bible teaching on these matters. They're just staying home. And our country is losing their moral compass because of the lack of Bible preaching. The Bible is our moral compass. It's for individuals, it's for churches, for nations. And I don't care if you're not willing to put your hand on a King James Bible and swear an oath to this nation, you have no business being in a place of leadership. Because we're our nation ruled by the absolutes of the Word of God. For individuals, listen, as a forward observer, if I ignored my compass and just called any old direction in, I mean, doesn't matter, right, left, north, south, somebody was going to get killed that didn't mean to be killed. Friendlies. I had to trust my compass. But what if my compass says this is north today, but tomorrow my compass says this is north, and the next day my compass says this is north? Would you want me calling artillery on you or naval gunfire for you? No, because you don't know if I know what direction I'm pointing at. That's kind of how it is when the Word of God is rewritten every single year and it doesn't say the same thing every single year. Wonder why people don't trust the Bible? Because that moral compass says something different every time. Listen, now, a gender-neutral Bible, for real? Are you kidding me? God is masculine. We want to take the masculine away from our kids, even our boys, and stop teaching them to be men. We need a moral compass, and it's the Bible. We have to get back to the Bible. To neglect the Bible is to starve your soul. Can you imagine a willing famine? I mean, it's like that. Some of you remember the IRA guys who do hunger strikes or whatever. My love is starved. If they want to eat, here's the food. Don't eat it. But a willing hunger strike. That's crazy. But people are doing it with Bibles in their houses, sitting on the shelf, and they're starving to death for the Word of God. The results are the same as a regular famine. It's death. It's the death of a nation. It's the death of the home, death of an individual. I mean, death is the result of starvation. Death is the result of famine, whether it be of the Word of God or whether it be for food. Number three, a nation without the Bible is without faith. My Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come any other way. Faith in Roger? No. Faith in me? No. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm going to do something. But listen, I can trust the Word of God. I can put my faith in the Word of God. Let's look at a verse. Romans chapter 10. Paul is describing his nation, but I believe that America is in the exact same place. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. Wow. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, there's never been a man ever keep the whole law. Never. Except for Jesus Christ. But here we have Paul. He's talking about these people that have a zeal for God but no knowledge of Christ. That's the religious crowd. They have no knowledge of Scripture, but they have a zeal for God. One has said this week, that I can practice Buddhism and Christianity together. Hogwash. You cannot do both. You will either love one or hate the other. And that's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. The godliness. God said, be holy for I am holy. Now, godliness without holiness is vanity. I mean, holiness is what's on the inside. If I have holiness on the inside, godliness follows in my actions. If holiness follows on the inside of our country, our home, our personal life, godliness will follow. Holiness is what's required, though. To be ye holy, for I am holy. Not just religious. I'm going to turn back for time's sake. Don't worry about it. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Oh, I'm telling you this morning or this afternoon that God has a controversy with America. He has a controversy with this land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We just read all those statistics. Verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's Christian homes. That's Christian lives. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Man, I'll tell you what. That is scary stuff. Hosea. He says, you don't have truth. You don't have knowledge. How do you have knowledge? That's what a nation without the Bible looks like. It's a nation without truth. John said, thy word is truth. That's being willingly ignorant. Rejecting God's word, what Hosea said. Rejecting God's word because, you know, it doesn't say what I want it to say. Therefore, since I don't like that Romans 1 part, I'm going to rewrite the Bible and make it more convenient for me. I'm going to rewrite it to fit my lifestyle. You know, my righteousness, which Isaiah says is filthy rags. So better take that verse out of there too. We don't want that saying my righteousness is filthy rags. Men go about and rewrite scripture to fit their lifestyle. That's why we have averaged over one new version a year since Westcott and Hort perverted the new Greek text. 200 English versions. 200. What is wrong with the old King James? If you can't read a fifth grade reading level, you need to go back to school. It's not too hard to understand. But the Bible says that they're ignorant of God's word and of his righteousness. And what did Romans say? In order to establish their own righteousness. I'll rewrite the Bible. So that I can make it, I'll make it to where it shines a light on me and makes me look good. Rather than shine a light on me and show what a dirty, rotten sinner I am. Right. Which the Bible says we have none. We have no righteousness. How convenient to write a new version that doesn't teach that. The Bible imparts seeds of faith. We read the verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. That's how faith is built into a nation and into a home and into an individual's life. But neglecting that is a voluntary thing. Now when we read that passage in Amos, we think that's impossible. But we're not that far from it. Who ever heard of a voluntary famine? Let's just go burn the crops this year. Let's go burn the crops next year. And the next year. Let's go burn the crops for 100 years. I guarantee you, your shelves full of beanie weenies is going to get empty sooner or later. A nation's wealth is found in their faith. This nation's wealth was founded in its faith. It survived in its faith. It's built in its faith, and the faith comes from the Word of God. And I tell you this morning, America's going bankrupt. They're not wealthy. We're not. Look, when we got young people in their 20s that haven't read the Bible more than 3 times in 1 year, we're going bankrupt. That's the crowd that in 20 years, those are going to be the senators and representatives that are passing laws, and you're going to be too old to do anything about it. You're going to be too old to stop them from passing some heretical, horrific laws. Except that this nation comes back to the Word of God, and those young people get back in the Word of God, and they get a respect for the Word of God, and they love the Word of God, and quit thinking that our wealth is in our banks or in our markets. We hear a lot about the strong dollar. Oh, what a joke is that? A strong dollar. It's a piece of paper backed up by nothing. Might as well get a Xerox machine. Get after it. You know how strong a dollar is? Dollar's as strong as God lets it be. One of these days, God's going to send a famine in our land. There's not going to be no strong dollar. There won't be any dollars. And God says, listen, one day, that you would run from north to south, east to west, seeking to and fro for the Word of God, and you will not find it. It doesn't say that they're looking for a loaf of bread. It doesn't say they're looking for the best mutual fund. It says they're looking for the Word of God, and they will not find it. I tell you what, that's a sad day. I pray that that's after the rapture. Amen. I know it is going to be. Praise the Lord. I'll close with this. I wonder this morning or this afternoon, are you hungry? Do you devour the Word of God when it's available? Or are you just humored by it? Take it or leave it, like the rest of America? Or are you hungry for it? Some just get angry at the truth. It's like me going into my kitchen and being angry at my refrigerator because I'm hungry. Does that make sense? I'm hungry! Well, what do you think that refrigerator is going to do about it? Nothing. What if there's food in the refrigerator and I'm angry at the refrigerator because I'm hungry? Now, that sounds stupid. We go, that's ridiculous. You're right. It's exactly, we're that ridiculous. It's how ridiculous it is for Christians to be hungry for the truth, but not want to hear the truth, go where the preaching of the truth is, don't have a Bible that has the truth in it. We had a young boy lived with us for a while. I mean, there is hunger in America. This young boy, we had cooked chicken. Fried chicken. I never seen anybody eat fried chicken like that. I mean, I grew up on a farm and we had chicken all the time. I've never seen a chicken look like that before. I mean, when this kid got done, there wasn't a piece of gristle on the bone. I mean, he ate the gristle. He ate, there was not a piece of meat left on the bone. Birds couldn't have done that good a job. He was that used to being hungry. When it got put in front of him, he left none of it undone. Wonder if we go before the Word of God like that. I don't all the time. Like I should. That I ought to go before the Word of God and say, man, I'm so hungry, I'm leaving nothing on the bone. I'm going to devour it. Bible teaching and preaching, we should devour it when it's available. And then, and last, we should share the Scripture to prevent a national famine. We hold the bread basket. We hold it right in our hand. I mean, the basket that has all the food in it, we got it right there in the Word of God. And to hoard it and keep it away from our neighbor when, listen, this never runs out. it's not like they're going to go in my pantry and I'm not having food left in a week. No, this
this never runs out. This bread never runs out. Why would I withhold that? It's not like I'm going to give it to Roger and then I'll never get any for me again. I can share it with Roger and keep on sharing it with others. Keep on sharing it and I never runs out. We have it right there.
So, would we share Scripture to prevent a national famine? I'd say, according to those statistics, the majority of America is saying no. I'll just keep it for myself. I take it or leave it. This week, let's be hungry for the Word of God. Let's be hungry, so hungry that we can't leave anything on the bone. And we just eat it up. As much as God give us, we'll take it. Pray the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and discernment as we read through the Scripture. You want an answer from God in your life? Get in your Bible. That's how He's going to tell you the answer. Get in the Bible. And then prayer. Praying over what we are about to read. Praying about what we just got done reading. Praying for God's wisdom. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads. Lord, thank You for this day. But Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for a Bible that I can trust. That I can seek Your face and understand what Your will is. That, Lord, You can show us. You use it to show us direction in our lives. Not only in our lives, our personal lives, but in our homes, in our churches, our nation, even government. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We are starving to death. Forgive us, Lord, as Christians for neglecting to share the Word of God with others that are starving to death and don't even know it. They may have a pocket full of cash and are dying and going to hell and they don't even know it because a Christian has neglected to share the breadbasket with them. Lord, we don't want to see a nation without the Word of God. We know we're headed there, and most of it is through ignorance. Most of it is through indifference and not caring. Lord, help us to love the Word of God and to care about our nation. We might see our nation remain free from the tyrants that would take our Bibles away, from those who would take liberties away from us that the Bible has given us. Lord, I thank You for meeting our needs today out of the Word of God. I pray that You'd bless us for being in Your house. Bless our time of fellowship. Keep us safe as we travel home today. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.